in place and not skip to Whitney Houston, who was belting out I'm Every Woman. I managed to keep the rope moving for about 5 or 6 rotations, with girlish double Dutch chants going through my head before I tripped myself. Ness was talking to Gino and pointed to a ringside box with 3 lights. Green, yellow, red. The bell. I soon learned that the bell runs continuously whenever the gym is open. Like a traffic cop, the bell dictates the gym's movements. 3 minutes of action, green, 1 minute rest, red. Yellow means 30 seconds left, better throw your punch. After 2 rounds of rope, I nodded to Ness, who sat me down and said, "Give me your hand." I held out my right hand. He took it and then spread my fingers apart. He unfurled one of the cotton rolls Gino had given me and began to wrap my hand. It felt odd to have his big brown hand take my pale pink one and gently wrap the material, stronger than gauze, more like swaddling, between my fingers and around my wrist and across my palm. Ness explained that wrapping hands is crucial to protect the knuckles. As he wove the cloth between my fingers, stopping occasionally to test the tightness of the layers, I felt shy, as if we were on a first date. His grip was firm, but in a way delicate, which surprised me. He finished with my right hand and began with my left, and again tenderness mixed with the heat I could feel coming off his body. He was preparing me, and once more he warned me about getting the wraps right. "Too loose," he said, "and you can break your own hand throwing a punch." Then Ness showed me how to stand like a boxer, at an angle, with my left foot planted firmly before me and my right foot skewed. "You have to keep your knees slightly bent," he told me, "so you can bounce easily and swerve quickly. Hold your right hand clenched and raised as if you're holding a telephone. Keep the left hand before you as if to pound on a door. Both hands hover at eye level, ready to jab forward into the face of an opponent or to deflect a blow to the head. Now, punch it," Ness said, holding up a padded red glove that looked like a catcher's mitt. I threw my first punch, a left, straight ahead, into the red glove. Thap! Good! Again! Another left. Thap! Good! Now give me a right. A right hook is a harder punch, because the right hand has to travel farther across the space between 2 boxers in order to connect. It's a complicated move that involves turning the whole body and churning power up through the leg so that the body becomes a spring, coiled with force. When I threw the right hook, my feet scraped the floor and my hip lurched, throwing me off balance. I stopped mid-move when I realized I had fucked up. "Naw, man, you gotta turn. Move your hip into it. Like this." Ness pantomimed the punch and raised his padded hand right to my face. "Pow," he said. "Like that. Turn your whole body into it. Now do it." I repeated the punch until he said stop. I got better with each repetition. My body learned the move. My foot shifted stiffly, my hip turned, my right arm crossed the space between us, all for that connection with the red pad. Thap! "Okay, see? Let's do a jab, then a hook. 1, 2. 1, 2. Like when you fuck." Ness held his hands low in front of him, as if he were gripping a pair of hips, and gestured fucking. 1, 2. In, out. He grinned as he was doing this, and I couldn't believe the rawness of the move. Surrounded by men hitting leather bags or clinging sweatily to each other, he stood in the middle of it all and pretended to fuck the space in front of him. Before he could think, "This white boy can't even fuck," I started doing it too, but with my arms throwing the punches. "That's it! See, you got it!" he grinned at me. "Now, let's go." I tried to forget that I was in a room of men, that there was violence going on not only around me but inside me. I found myself bobbing to the disco beat, hypnotized by the repetition of the punches, exhausted by each endless 3-minute round. And I was amazed. I was throwing punches. I was hitting Ness's padded hands. I was hitting him as he moved across the floor. I couldn't believe I was hitting something, and it felt good to connect, leather against leather, when my knuckles struck his pads hard and direct. Sweat was dripping down my forehead, so I wiped my face with my arm. My hands were clubs. I had to hit something. Anybody. Ness was grinning, leading me on, trying to fake me out with his own moves. The less I thought about what I was doing, the better I got. Maybe that's what I was after. A body that worked without thinking, without remembering what to do. A muscle moving through space. I tried to imagine the two of us circling each other in bed. Who would top? Who would bottom? Already I felt how boxing becomes sex, the heat of two men moving in need, thrusting and sparring, arms locked in embrace. How in that haze of muscle and sweat everything else drops away, the two bodies the only reality. But I couldn't block out the surroundings, the weighted bags, the mirrors, and especially the other boxers as they moved through their workouts. Mostly black or Latino, they were young, fierce, and focused, pounding the heavy bags or sparring with partners. As Ness and I wove across the floor, we brushed against punching bags and sleek, wet bodies. I leaned into their heat, shimmering like a horizon all around me. I'd glide against a sweaty black arm or bump up against a brown leather bag, my sweat leaving a trail across the room. By the fourth or fifth round, I was totally drenched with sweat. During a rest minute, Ness got a water bottle from a cooler by the ring. I started to take the bottle from him, but he gestured for me to lean back and open my mouth. He shot the water into my mouth, then all over my face. He squirted more than I could swallow, and the water washed over my chin and down my chest. I dropped my head, and he continued to pour the cool water over me, soaking my head as I stared down at the drops hitting the floor. "All right, man, that's it for today." He led me through a cool-down of push-ups, crunches, and squats, and I did as he commanded, counting under my breath, silent and sweating, doing whatever he said. Downstairs, alone again in the locker room, I sat on the single bench and felt the blood rush through my body. I stripped and stood in front of the floor-to-ceiling mirror. I was dripping with sweat, and my limbs were pink and bright. I grabbed my right biceps and was surprised at its hardness. Is this what pumped felt like? I felt leaner, meaner, and I wondered what Oscar would have thought of my body. Did I have what it takes to be a fighter? Was my body a weapon? What things could it do? As I entered the shower, I could hear the music from upstairs, the clear note of the bell every 3 minutes. I imagined Ness up there working on another boy, turning him into a man, a machine of muscle and speed. Maybe it was all about contact, the touching, the way Gino draped his thick arm around my neck, the way Ness wrapped my hands, then showed me how he fucked. Maybe what I wanted from Oscar was his touch, the pummeling he could offer, what touching him, even in violence, would mean for me. The water was hot, adding to the heat of my body as the blood stayed near the surface of the skin. I lathered my chest with soap, then foamed up my groin. I was hard, my balls as tight as the speed bag upstairs, which I imagined a Latino boy pumping with his fists. I started to jerk off, my rhythm copied from the boxers I had watched. 1-2, 1-2, finding a rhythm and letting my body take over. When the bell sounds, Oscar approaches me from across the ring, the everlast of his red satin shorts all I can focus on. I can't look at those eyes yet, but I can see his red gloves hovering before me. I take a defensive stance, then begin circling him. He throws a left jab, which I block, and his lips protrude over his mouthpiece, like a child pouting. My hook catches him off guard, my glove grazing his chin. His hairy chest damp with sweat, he moves closer and I back away. He follows me as I dodge his punches, trying to gauge how long I can last before he hits me again. Backed into the corner of the shower, all I hear is the slap of leather against muscle, hard, then gone. My fist curls around my shaft. 1-2, 1-2. I back away, but he's there, leaning into me, dancing me into the corner where I'm all his. And I bite into my lips to draw blood, to spit in his eyes. I can see his fists coming at me, and I want to break that smile that's haunted me. His hands are on my ass, spreading my cheeks apart as he plunges all the way into me. His strokes are hard and quick, and he leans into the spray to kiss me. He pumps harder, never taking his mouth from mine. We breathe like swimmers, gasping whenever our tongues break the surface of the water pouring over us. As he fucks me harder, my cock swells. Pinned to the tile, I'm up against the ropes, and he continues to pump me harder and harder. I hold my arms up to defend myself against his chest crushing me, and I am stroking faster, and his look is fierce. His brown legs spread wide as he squats and rises, drilling me into the corner, his right hook against my thigh, his left jab pounding my pec. I'm twisting against his blows, and the sweat blinds me, his face a blur, water and salt and hair against my lips. His voice comes from the water. See, a whore. See, a whore. And he bites his lower lip, his perfect shining white teeth. Like a tourniquet, he loosens, releasing his jism into me. When I shoot, the cum hits his chin, but before he can lick it away, the water rinses him clean. He opens his mouth like he's about to sing, and what comes out is the language of men fucking men, syllables wet with heat, a cry opening into water. Upstairs, there were new faces as I moved toward the door. Pulling my sweatshirt over my head, I almost ran into a young Oscar, maybe 18. He was warming up, stretching, throwing a few punches at a bag, and he looked at me from the corner of his eye. If we had been in a gay bar, I'd have considered it a cruise. But in this place of sweat and leather and muscle, it was more a leer of competition, checking me out. Am I tough enough? Am I tougher than he is? I wondered what would happen if we stepped into the ring together. Who would throw the first punch? Who would be left standing? Who, perhaps, knocked cold?
The Whole Bloody Story of My Life from Beginning to End by Sean Levin. From Best American Erotica 2002. Read by Stephen Hoy.
Just listen to this. You're not going to believe it. I was on the tube, right? Coming home from the studio, right? And there was this guy on the train. We were eyeing each other like fucking animals, and I just knew something was going to happen. I could tell he was really into me. I could tell he really wanted me. I knew exactly what I was wearing, and I could tell it was making him hot. He was so fucking gorgeous, and he couldn't keep his eyes off me. And I let him fuck. I let him stare as much as he wanted to, right? And then he got up, and it was like he had some fucking dog collar around my neck. He yanked me out of my seat, and I was off. After him. We were way past King's Cross, past the Angel, but I wasn't going to let this one get away. He was fucking gorgeous, and I was shaking. I was so fucking nervous, I thought I'd shit my pants in his new fucking cords. I thought I was going to die. Anyway, his place wasn't far from the station, but I could tell I'd never be able to trace my way back later. I could tell there was no way I'd find my way back to the station. It's not like I know my way around London after all these years. Take me to a part I've never been before, and every house and street looks a fucking same to me. Identical. But I was being led by him, right? Fucking dragged along like a dog. His boots were thudding on the pavement as if they were saying, fuck you all out there. I don't give a fuck what you all think. I live here. This is my fucking street. I've never had that, you see. I've never had that feeling in any place. So it was like I could feel it through him. Fuck, I could have carried on walking behind him forever. But then we got to his house. Just this regular fucking house. He opened the front door as if he didn't give a fuck whether I was behind him or not. He unlocked the front door and we walked up to his flat on the first floor. One of those converted houses with about 6 fucking flats in one house. He said his brother owned the whole place. He said his brother felt sorry for him. He said he felt sorry for him and let him stay in one of the flats. And then inside there was no light. The blinds were down. And he kicked the door shut behind him. And there was this dead fucking silence, like, shut the fuck up! Nobody talks from this point on. I knew he was going to turn around and lash at my face with a fucking knife. I knew it. I thought, this guy's going to whip out a fucking chain from his back pocket and fuck my head in. And I thought, what the fuck? There's no way I'm going to get out of here, so just fucking enjoy yourself. And did his place stink? Fuck, that place smelt foul. Cigarettes and dirt and smelly clothes. And I just thought, you English are so fucking grimy. You're all fucking slobs. And that was when I knew this guy would never hurt me. He came at me, grinning. Grinning like some fucking evil fuck. But I just kept my eyes on his. I let him play his game. His face was this close to me, this close, and he put his mouth on mine. He held the back of my neck and pushed my mouth open with his tongue as if he wanted to dig through me. He was quiet, not a word. And I wasn't going to risk saying anything. I wasn't going to make a fool of myself by saying something really stupid. Then he bit my bottom lip. Here, look. Look what he did. Left his mark on me. And then stepped back. He stepped back to look at me and started to undress right there in the fucking living room. In that fucking pitch-dark living room that stunk of wet ashes, armpits and shit-stained underwear. He knew I was watching him. He took his time taking off his jacket, unbuttoning his white cotton shirt, massaging the air on his chest, pinching his nipples. He stood there in his boots and jeans, and I knew with every pore in my fucking body that this guy was gonna fuck me, and it was gonna be so fucking good. He was like a fucking animal. I'm telling you, thick and hard and covered in dark red hair. He left his clothes on the floor and walked into his bedroom, sweat glistening on him like fucking dew in a spider's web. You can't imagine what it was like. I just wanted to go down on my knees and lick his old fucking body. I did. I was ready to lick the fucking floorboards his shoes had stood on. I imagined looking up at the fur on his shoulders, in his chest and stomach, and him pulling me to my feet and saying, boy, I'm gonna fuck your pussy. Fuck it. You know how smooth I am. You know how sometimes my body feels soft as a cunt, and I'll do anything to get a man to fuck me. I'll follow him into his bedroom and beg him to stick his cock inside me. I'll call fucking strangers on the phone and leave the door open for them to come in. That's what was going to happen here. But no begging this time, right? He was fucking hot for me. He was gonna fuck me like a fucking wolf, and there was nothing I could do about it. I took off my All-Stars and my cords, then my T-shirt. I left them lying there in the hallway and went into his bedroom and lay back on the bed, just watching him take off the rest of his clothes. He stared at me while he undid his trousers and scooped out his cock. He looked at me as if he could kill me, and he said, I want your arse so fucking badly. Show it to me. Lie back like that and let me see. Let me see where I'm gonna stick my fucking cock. And I did just what he said. Fuck. He was so fucking hot for me. I'm gonna fuck your ass, he said. I'm gonna fuck it so good. I'm gonna fuck your ass like it's the only thing in this fucking world. This guy couldn't get enough. Can you picture it? Can you picture him there talking to me, saying, I want to be inside you, man. I want to fuck you so hard and long and sore. I want to fuck that soft, smooth cunt of yours. Come on, show me. Spread your ass like that. Yeah, let's see. By then I'd propped myself up on his pillows, holding my arse open and watching him pull off his boots, then his trousers and socks. He wasn't wearing any underpants, and his cock stood out like a fucking flagpole, jerking up and down every time he said fuck, as if his prick was some fucking worm monster waiting to get stuck into my fucking arsehole. He came at me with a vengeance, he did. He pushed those cushions off the bed and jerked my legs over my head and buried his tongue up my arse like there was no fucking tomorrow. I wanted his whole fucking face in there. I wanted him slobbering all over me, making noises with his mouth so it'd feel like the sounds were coming from inside me. His tongue pressed against the lips of my arsehole, and I lifted myself up and held on to the back of his shoulders and pulled him into me deeper. And he made those noises, those fucking animal noises, as if he couldn't get enough, like a mangy fucking mutt caged and starved for days. He whimpered and growled and chewed into my ass as if he didn't care what was going to happen. And his bed was like ice. Believe me, I'll never forget that, like ice. Sheets like a fucking ice rink, but smelly. Fuck, did they stink? Damp and creased and smelly. I could feel the fucking cum stains melting under my back, and his hot tongue between my legs. Open up, he said. Open. And I swear I could have screamed or fallen in love between each syllable. Come on, baby, he said. Come on, open up for me. I could have ripped myself in two for him to be inside me. I pulled my arse cheeks apart and felt his face push further into me. I don't know if you've ever felt this way. I don't know if you've ever trusted someone like that, have you? Have you ever trusted someone to do to you whatever they wanted, and you knew they'd never hurt you? And when his tongue wasn't enough, he tucked his shoulders under my knees and brought his cock to my arsehole. He stared at me without blinking and slowly made his way into me, chiseling his cock inside, jerking it back and forth. He was in. He stopped. He closed his eyes and let out this gush of air that was a scream and a sigh. Then he drew his cock out to the tip and slid it back in, and kept whispering, open up, open up, open up. And I watched him moving in and out of me. And he looked so fucking tormented, fucking deranged, believe me. He was sweating like a pig, right? And grunting. Every time he stuck his cock into me, he'd snort like a pig, like a desperate fucking animal that had lost all control. His body became darker as the sweat made his hair a damp mat on his skin. My legs were aching as if I'd been holding them up in the air for fucking ages. I needed to lower them, so I slid them off his shoulders and made them a ring around his back. I put one arm around his neck and clung to him like a baby. I pulled myself up and filled my mouth with his hairy nipple. I sucked on it and drank sweat out of his fur and told him to fuck me. Oh, God, he said. That's what he said. He said, oh, God, I'll fuck you. I'll fuck you. I'll fuck you so hard. I promise. With my other hand, I wiped the sweat off his back and rubbed it into my chest. My skin was already slippery from the sweat dripping off him. He pushed me onto the bed and stared at me. His face was beautiful. I touched his cheek and stroked his forehead, and ran my fingers through his hair and traced them down his spine. His body tensed as if he was about to pounce. I clung to his arse cheeks and drew his cock deeper into me, slowly, reassuring myself. I wanted to say, "Look, see? I've got all of you inside me. Are you listening? Are you listening? Can you imagine this? Can you imagine what this was fucking like? In the middle of fucking nowhere with this stranger inside me, and I knew it was gonna be fine. I knew all he wanted was to fuck me, that he wanted me to lie there and take his big, fat, red-haired cock up my arse. Then he said, "You like it, don't you?" He said, "You love me fucking you." "I do," I said.
"You do what?"
"Love it," I said. "I love it."
"What do you love?" he said.
I said, "I love you fucking me." And then just like that, he lifted his hand and slapped me across the fucking face, hard. The pain shot from my cheek to my arsehole like a dart ripping through me. Then he just grabbed my legs and yanked my body down onto his cock and hugged his arms around my knees and shoved his cock into me and used my body to pound into as if I wasn't there. And he pulled my arse toward him over and over, and I just let go. I just closed my eyes and let go as if I was doing some fucking yoga exercise, some kind of meditation, right? Fuck, I don't know, some mind and body split. I was looking down at myself and thinking, "Fuck, this is amazing. I'm nothing. I feel nothing, and I'm fucking loving it." And then he fucking snorted up this big wad of gob from the back of his throat and spat into my face. And I could feel again. I could feel how soft my arse was around his cock. I could feel how tight his arms were around my knees. I could feel the fur on his chest rubbing against my legs, and I wished he'd slap my face again. God, I fucking prayed he'd hit me before he came, because I knew he was close. I knew by the way he was grunting and roaring, and then his cum shot into me and dripped from my arse down to my back, and then he just dropped my legs and fell on top of me. My face was under his armpit, drenched with sweat, and fuck knows how long since he last washed. He was gasping like he'd just run some fucking marathon. I put my arms around his back and stroked him. His skin was coarse and slippery. I ran my fingers up and down his back, combing his hair, until he rolled off me, slowed down his breathing, and just stared at the ceiling.
"Okay," he said. He said, "Okay. Okay." He said, "You can fuck off now."
I was lying there, and there was nothing inside me, and I thought, how the fuck am I going to get out of here? I wanted to ask him if I could stay. I wanted to say to him, "Let me be here with you. Let me stay here at least until it gets dark outside. Then I can go. I don't want to be out there where everyone can see me. Please, I'll lie here and be still. And when it's dark, I'll go." I should have said that to him. I should have. All I wanted was to be near him. But I kept quiet. I kept hoping he hadn't meant what he said, or that he'd fall asleep and forget. I should have said to him, "You don't have to be afraid, you know that. I don't expect anything from you." But he got off his bed and moved into the living room. He gathered up my clothes and walked with the bundle to the door. He opened the door and chucked everything onto the landing. I walked past him and was going to ask if he really wanted me to go, but he stared at me with such disgust I couldn't bear saying anything to him. I couldn't, but I still wanted to. And I felt my cock go hard, and I just said, "Let me stay with you. Please, let me stay." His face wrinkled up as if I was the juice at the bottom of the rubbish bin. I should have said, "I can love you more than anyone in this world. I can love you like nobody can." But I didn't. He held the door open with his foot and stood with his arms folded across his chest. I looked up at him, at that red fur covering his chest, at his massive nipples above his hands. Then he grabbed his cock and wiped my arse juices from it and onto the wall outside his place. He stepped back inside and slammed the door. And that was it. I put on my top, hoping someone would come up and see me naked. Fuck, maybe he was even watching me. I tied my laces, my trousers still round my ankles, my arsehole facing his door. I walked back the way we came, looking straight ahead, making sure I didn't see the street name on the corner wall. I know what happens when you come back for more from these guys. I took a left, I think. I think it was a left. And I kept walking. The sun was still up, but the air had turned cooler. I love this kind of weather, the kind of weather we've been having lately. That crisp, brisk walk kind of weather. It reminds me of when I was a kid. Going fishing with my grandpa. Sitting in his boat at the mouth of the river before the sun came up. I wandered around for 10 minutes before I saw the calf. I was sure I'd been there before. The name looked familiar. Maybe they'd done the place up since I was there last. It was bright. Yellow and orange walls and this bright blue furniture. The guy behind the counter stared at me. He just stared at me, and I thought, "Aren't you open yet? Was there a sign on the door I didn't see?"
"You all right, mate?"
he said. "Could I just have a coffee?" I said.
"Anything else?"
he said. Because I remember him asking that. I remember him asking if I wanted anything else. And I remember him calling me mate. I think he did. I think he said, "Anything else, mate?" Because when he said that, I knew I had to get out of there. I knew that if he asked me one more question, I'd answer him the way mad people do when they latch onto you at a bus stop. I'd end up telling him the whole bloody story of my life from beginning to end. I said, "Just tell me the way to the tube." And he frowned and said,
"Coffee's on the house, mate."
He said,
"Stay. Drink it before you run off."
I said I had to be somewhere. I said I'd forgotten that I had to be somewhere. And I did. I did have to be somewhere. I had to be here with you, didn't I? The ride home's a blur now. Maybe because I kept my eyes shut on the train. Maybe because no one ever looks at you in this city. I had a quick shower at home and changed into some clean clothes. When I looked at myself in the mirror, everything seemed fine. I looked fine. I hadn't eaten all day, and my face always looks better when I'm hungry. More defined and chiseled, right? I like the way I look sometimes. Jesus.
Thank God for that.
I never have to worry too much about going out and looking a mess. And then I came here. And here we are. I'm fucking starving. So let's order some food.
In Deep, by Simon Shepherd. From Best American Erotica 2002. Read by Stefan Rudnicki.
Utila's just a fly speck on the map of the world. It lies right off the Honduran coast, one of the Bay Islands, a place settled by pirates who braved the seas for gold. These days, the island's wealth arrives with young divers who come to explore the coral reef. These days, visitors don't arrive by frigate. They fly in from La Ceiba on small planes, planes with warning signs written in Russian, decommissioned junkers from Aeroflot or someplace. Every time the plane dips its wings toward the Caribbean's blue, the passengers hold their breaths and pray. I know I did. Except for the praying part. I'd been to Guatemala already, spent a full moon night among the pyramids of Tikal, communing with ghosts, getting over a love affair I never should have allowed to drag me down. I'd submerged myself in Kate, her desires and her life, and most of all her needs. And after 2 years of misery, I'd discovered it was a mistake. She was a mistake. My job was a mistake. My life was going nowhere. I decided to skip the worst of a Philadelphia winter and head to Central America to lick my wounds. The flimsy little plane managed to touch down on Utila's grassy airstrip just beside a crystal blue harbor. It was only a short walk to the main street. Quaint as hell. Wooden buildings. Tropical paradise. Dive shops. Restaurants. Lots of small hotels. Hotels without a single room for rent. Semi-exhausted from dragging my backpack up and down the street in a fruitless search for a place to stay, I collapsed into a tattered wicker chair in the lobby of Lucy's Hotel. "Hey, you look exhausted." I looked up. He was dark and slightly stocky, Greek background maybe, wearing shorts, flip-flops, and a raggedy T-shirt. "I am. You know of any place to stay? I'll be damned if I can find a vacant room." "You should have caught the earlier flight over." "Now you tell me," I grimaced. "Listen, there's a second bed in my room, if you don't snore. You'd be welcome to spend the night. I'll just have to check it out with the management." "Lucy?" I asked. "There is no Lucy. Never has been, I hear." He extended his hand. "My name's Aaron." "Tom," I said. "Pleased to meet you. How long you been here?"
"A while."
"Great place to dive." "So I hear." "Water's so clear you can always see the bottom. All the way down." I spent the afternoon settling in, exploring the little town. Half the families in town had the same surname, Harrison, and half the businesses were dive shops. It was a great place for scuba, all right. Or at least a bargain. Pre-purchasing 10 boat dives brought the price down to a third of what it would have cost stateside. I found a likely-looking dive shop, the Neptune, checked it out, and paid for 10 dives, enough to keep me busy during my planned week on the island. I was at the far end of the main street when the sky began dumping rain. Everything was getting that wet tropic smell as I jogged back toward the hotel. I made it back, soaked to the skin, and went to my new room and changed. I was sitting on the porch overlooking the harbor, listening to the rain hammering on the corrugated metal roof, when a blonde woman came up the stairs. She wasn't bad-looking, a little plump maybe, but she had nice breasts, and her nipples showed through her rain-damp T-shirt.
"Hello," she said, her accent Scandinavian. "You just arrived?"
"Yeah, this morning." I was thinking about how one of those nipples would feel in my mouth. I hadn't had a woman since Kate had left me.
"You stay at this hotel?"
"Yes," I said. "I'm doubling up with a man named Aaron." She made a strange face. "Anything wrong?"
"No, it's just that I've heard..."
Another mysterious look.
"Never mind."
We chatted for a while about approximately nothing, the way that strangers on the road do. I kept glancing at her tits, I guess. I finally decided to pop the question. "Are you doing anything tonight? Want to go for a drink?"
"I should tell you," she said, "that I'm a lesbian."
And that was that. That night I went for dinner at a restaurant down the road. The food tasty, but served at a snail's pace. It was Saturday, so the town's two discos were cranking up their sound systems, blatting bad music into the balmy tropical night. I popped into one, and by the time I'd finished my first rum and coke, had decided it really wasn't my scene. I headed back to the hotel and curled up in bed. I had had to get up early to make the trip from the mainland of Honduras, so I drifted off quick. Something woke me up. I looked around. In the dim blue moonlight, I could see that my roommate Aaron had returned. He was sprawled on his back in the other bed a few feet away in the small room. The sheets were tangled around his feet. His hairy body was naked, and he was jerking off. I hadn't watched guys jack off since Boy Scouts, and I was kind of curious. Careful not to draw his attention, I watched Aaron as he stroked and squeezed his dick. His technique, I noticed, was very different from mine. I tend to really pound away. He was more poetic, slow, like it was happening underwater. I felt, to my surprise, my own cock getting hard. Not embarrassment, not shame, just surprise. I would have reached down to my crotch, but I was afraid he'd see me. So I lay there, scarcely breathing, for 3, 4, 5 minutes as he played with himself. Every once in a while he'd take his hand away to get more spit, and I could see his cock was very hard, not very big, and gleaming wet. Eventually he started writhing and arching his back, moaning loudly enough to wake me up if I'd been asleep. With a muffled groan, he oozed a big load of cum on his belly, then wiped it up with his hand and licked it off his palm. He pulled the covers up, rolled over with his back toward me, and seemed to go to sleep. The next morning I woke up in a sticky little puddle. I never had jacked off the night before, but my cum had made an escape anyway. Aaron was already gone. I was up early enough to go on a morning boat dive. I grabbed a cup of coffee and a slice of coconut bread at a nearby bakery. I thought about the night before, then tried not to. I figured it wouldn't happen again. I slurped down the last of the coffee and headed for the Neptune dive shop. Even without reservations, I had no trouble getting a place on the morning boat. I pulled on the rented dive gear, the wetsuit tightly hugging my body, grabbed my 2 full tanks, and headed for the dock. There were 4 other customers on the boat, a Canadian married couple, and a dreadlocked blonde surfer from Southern California with his purple-haired girlfriend. The dive master, Bernd, briefed us as we headed southwest of the island to Stingray Point. The Canadians had just been PADI certified, so we took it fairly easy on the first dive, only heading down to 30 feet or so. The water was glorious, the coral beautiful, the reef fish streaking colorfully around our group. It had been months since I'd last been diving, and now I remembered why I loved it so. The astonishing peace of the liquid world, the feeling of being where people weren't meant to go, the cold isolation of breathing the air of life through a mouthpiece gripped between my teeth, the beauty of the reef system, which in Honduras is pretty damn overwhelming. Lettuce coral, brain coral, pillar coral, elkhorn, and star. And the schools of angelfish, parrotfish, chromis. The second dive at Jack Neal Point was just as nice, even nicer as big sea turtles swam amongst our little group. When Bernd led us back to the boat, I was sorry to leave the water. I was sorry to get back to life. But it was time to head back to shore. 2 dives a day are usually plenty for me. I had a lunch of fried fish at a little place run by 2 sisters, then went back to sit on the hotel porch and read and catch up on writing postcards. People came and went, sometimes making small talk. I wondered where the Scandinavian lesbian was. I would have liked to ask her more about my roommate, but she never appeared. It was late afternoon before I saw Aaron. He headed up the stairs and climbed into the hammock suspended from the porch. "Having fun?" he asked. "Yeah, went on a couple of dives this morning." "Explored the island yet? Out by Pumpkin Hill?" "Nah," I said. "I figured there'll be plenty of time for that. I'm feeling really lazy today." "We should go out there sometime," Aaron said. "You and I."
Okay, I agreed.
"Thought about dinner yet?"
"It's early."
"Yeah, but the service is so slow. And sometimes if you don't get to a place early, they run out of whatever you want. I looked out at the Caribbean, ripples glistening in sunlight. That's the thing about coming to a place like this. You gotta remain flexible. How long you been here? I'm going to go lie down in the room. Come get me when you're starting to get hungry. After dinner, we can go get drunk at the Bucket of Blood. Dinner was good. The conch soup, excellent. Though, as Aaron had warned me, the service was glacially slow, even worse than the night before. By the time we'd paid the check, it was well into the night. Over at the Bucket of Blood, we drank rum and cokes till I had trouble seeing straight. The dreadlocked surf boy was there, looking glum. I wondered where his purple-haired girlfriend had gotten to. For someone who'd been on the island a while, Aaron didn't seem to know anyone there. Which was okay. He was friendly enough. Friendlier as the night wore on and we grew drunker. I kind of liked him. When I'd had enough of cheap rum, strangers, and endless replays of Bob Marley's greatest hits, I suggested we turn in. We staggered down the street, along with a lot of other soused tourists and a few semi-sober locals, and stumbled up the stairs to our room. Aaron threw himself onto his bed. "Oh, man," he said. He pulled his T-shirt over his head. "I'm ready to pass out," he said. His torso was fleshy, generously covered with dark hair. He began to unzip his khaki shorts. "Want me to turn out the light?" I asked, "so you can get some sleep." "No, leave it on." He was down to his briefs now. He began rubbing his crotch through the white cotton. I just lay there watching him as he peeled off his underwear and started stroking his cock. He'd thrown his near leg over the edge of the bed so I had a view of his balls and the hair between his legs. "Oh, man," he repeated. His dick was hard. And so was mine. I looked him in the face. He looked back with deep, dark eyes and nodded. I reached down and unzipped my shorts. I wasn't wearing underwear. The flesh of my swelling cock was hot to the touch. I pulled my shorts down and my shirt up, grabbed my dick, and started playing with the foreskin. We lay there, side by side, a couple of feet apart, two almost strangers masturbating. I kept glancing from his eyes to his cock, then back to his face again. As interesting as it was to see him jacking his dick, it was more intense to watch his face. I'd seen women get off, of course, but I'd never watched another man while he had sex. I submerged myself in his eyes as he slowly brought himself close to orgasm. I wanted to touch him, to feel what another man's cock was like, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. And I was half afraid and half hoping he'd get up, come over to me, touch me. But he didn't. So we just lay there, hands working our own hard-ons until he nodded and said, "Now?" "Now," I said. He looked so beautiful when he came. I wondered if I looked that way, too. I glanced down. The hair on his belly was strewn with ropes of cum. "Good night," he said. I'm gonna go clean up, take a shower." "Don't move," he said. He swiveled himself out of bed, knelt on the floor beside me. He leaned over my torso and gently lapped up my cum, his tongue moving over my belly and chest. I wanted to grab his head, part of me did, and guide him down to my dick, but I didn't. When he was done, he wordlessly got into bed and curled up under the thin bed cover, his back toward me. After a while, he spoke. "You can turn out the light now," he said. The first thing Aaron said to me when I woke up was, "Fuck the boat dives. Let's go snorkeling out by the airport." "Sure," I heard myself saying. We slipped into Speedos and T-shirts and, grabbing our fins and masks, headed out. It was a shortish way down the street to the landing field. As Aaron and I wordlessly walked side by side in the morning sun, I kept thinking back to the night before, the sight of his cock, the feeling of his mouth on my flesh. I looked over at his face, then down to his hairy legs. Despite myself, I felt myself getting hard. I shifted the fins to in front of my crotch, but Aaron caught on and chuckled. "Don't worry about it," he said. "Happens to the best of us." Beyond the rocky shoreline, the warm Caribbean stretched forever. Nobody else was around. We adjusted our masks and snorkels, pulled on our fins, and walked backward into the gently lapping waves. Even in the shallows, the waters were alive with riotously colored fish. Careful not to cut ourselves on coral, we swam a little ways out, breathing through our little plastic tubes. The ocean bottom receded with every stroke. Sea anemones wavered in the currents, feeding on things too tiny to see. I felt Aaron's hand stroking my side. For a second I wanted to push it away. Instead, I hung there, floating on the surface of another world, while his touch explored my flesh. His fingers moved down to the waistband of my Speedos, then over my ass. Kate had never touched me that way. No woman had. He slipped his fingers beneath the thin fabric, touched the flesh of my butt. His fingertips moved toward my ass crack. With a kick of my fins, I jetted myself away from him. I wanted not to be feeling those things. I wanted my cock not to be throbbing in my bathing suit. I wanted to look at the pretty coral and the pretty fish and forget that I'd ever known Aaron. Instead, I floated in the crystal-clear embrace of the water until he caught up with me. I let him touch me again, touch my chest, my belly, run his hand across my crotch, my hard cock, peel down the front of my suit, grab me, my flesh, my dick. He tugged my suit down to around my thighs and dove down beneath me. He pulled at my feet till I was vertical in the water, then surfaced for a breath and dove down again. Looking down, I saw him spit out the mouthpiece of his snorkel. Exhaling a trail of bubbles, he wrapped his mouth around my dick, his tongue even wetter than the water. The vagaries of buoyancy dragged us upward until I was on my back, Aaron floating between my thighs, his face now above waterline, breathing through his nose, his mouth still in possession of my cock. "Jesus, Aaron, somebody might see us," I said. And as if on cue, the drone of the morning plane came over the horizon. He took his mouth from my hard-on, which flopped onto my belly, little waves lapping at my dick flesh. "Let's go back to the hotel room, then, unless you're afraid." "Let's just go back. Go back and do nothing," I said. "Give me time. I've got to think." The walk back was awkward. When we got to the hotel, Aaron kept on walking down the street. I went up to our room, took a cold shower, then went out to stare at the sea. As I sat on the porch, the Scandinavian girl came up to me. "You've been spending time with him?" "Aaron?" I asked. "Yeah," she said. "Just what do you have against him, anyway?" I was sure she could see into me, my dirty secret. I was sure she knew. "He's no good. Dangerous." "How the hell would you know?" "He used to be my boyfriend." Her voice was tired, resigned.
"But you're a lesbian."
"Yes, mostly. But Aaron and I lived together in Chicago. We came here to Central America together last month. He used to be my boyfriend."
"Until?" I asked.
"You'll see," she said.
I was lying on my bed beneath an open window. There must have been a power failure. The electricity didn't work. The fan didn't move. Even with the window open, it was hot and stifling. I didn't care. I lay there thinking about the shipwreck of my life. Aaron still hadn't returned when the wind picked up, blowing dark clouds over the island. And then, with that suddenness of tropical rainstorms, it was pouring, coming down in sheets. I could have reached up and shut the window. I didn't. The rain blew in, soaking me, my clothes, the bed. I didn't care. I didn't give a fuck about anything. I didn't have Kate. I hated my job. I hated my life. I was forced to admit it. The only thing that had given me real pleasure for a long while, well, maybe not pleasure, but was interesting at least, was Aaron. Being with Aaron. Enough time? Aaron was standing in the open doorway, sopping wet. Huh? I said. You had enough time to think about things? To decide? There was the slightest trace of a sneer. I nodded. He walked over to my bed, stood in front of me, and pulled down his wet Speedos. His dick wasn't hard, not yet, and somehow that made it all the nicer. I could understand now how a woman could see a threat in a hard-on. I could understand how nothing matters, really. I reached for him. Our wet bodies slid over each other. His dick was hard now, and mine was too. And we kissed. The first time I'd ever kissed a man. Our tongues like dolphins or something, our breaths intertwined. When our faces parted, I asked a question. Now what? Aaron slid down over the rain-soaked sheets as thunder drummed outside. I expected him to suck my cock, but he pushed my legs up and slid his face down to my ass. His tongue dove inside me. I was ashamed, but my penis was stiff. Am I a faggot now? I wondered as he licked my ass, kissing, tonguing, like some strange fish swimming where it didn't belong. I heard a moan, my own, above the thunder. And then lightning. And his mouth moved to my balls, licking, sucking till I began to ache. My cock, please. My cock, I begged him. Suck me, Aaron said. Me suck you? Who else? Yes, I said. I will, I said, then was sorry I'd spoken. But he was already moving over me, twisting his body so his crotch was against my face. The head of his cock, a deep, angry pink, darker than mine, was inches from my mouth. What the hell? I opened wide. It wasn't bad, sucking cock. A little strange, maybe. But then it got good. I was hungry for Aaron, for his small, hard cock jutting from a bush of curly black hair. I was hungry for him, and I gulped him down, as far down my throat as I could without gagging. He pumped into me, rocking back and forth the smallest bit, never leaving the back of my mouth. Rain was hitting my face. I grabbed his ass, held on tight. Rain was hitting my face. I couldn't breathe. I tried to, through my nose, but it wasn't enough. I wondered if anybody had ever choked to death sucking cock. Let me loose, Tom. Back off, you fuck, Aaron said. And he pulled his dick out of my mouth and slid down till he was lying on top of me. Two men's bodies, wet, face to face, dick to dick. He kissed me, harder, longer than before. I felt his hands go around my neck. If lightning had crashed just then, it would have been too melodramatic. Lightning crashed. His lips were still on mine as he squeezed down gently on my windpipe, harder on the arteries on the sides of my neck. I should have been scared. He squeezed harder. I was all of 28 years old, maybe about to die, and I didn't mind. I wanted him to keep squeezing. Harder. Harder. He did. I was straining to breathe. Trapped blood was throbbing in my brain. I was still aware enough to feel our two hard cocks rubbing together, wet. I wanted him to fuck me. He wasn't going to. He was going to choke me. Things looked darkish red, little spots dancing before my eyes. I was out of air. I reached for his wrists, intending to pull his hands away. I grabbed them all right, but I drew them inward instead. The thunder was close now, rattling everything. I was making little mewling noises, hoarse, tiny gasps. My mouth opened wide for his tongue. I wanted to unhinge my jaw for him, a boa constrictor swallowing poisoned prey. things became even darker, dark as night. It was nice. I could feel my eyes bulging out of my skull. I threw my head back, gave my throat to him. "Oh, yeah," he said. "Oh, man!"